and nothing else. Grace alone. Hallelujah. We are no better than they, but we are saved by grace. Yes. Glory to God. You. Prepare your hearts, your minds to hear more, much more of that. God's truth, God's word unto us, members of the body of Christ in this, the grace dispensation. By none other than our elder sister Karen Liverman, let us receive her and the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, with a very hearty amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we thank and praise the Lord for another new year, 2016. Hallelujah. We are so blessed to assemble one more time. Hallelujah. And we're asking that you might bow your head for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the privilege of prayer and thanking you for this new year. We're asking, Lord, that as we enter this 2016, hallelujah, that we become doers of the word and not just hearers only. Father, we're asking that you might remember those that are not here. We have pretty inclement weather, but we're asking, Lord, that those that are yet on their way, that you might guide them and protect them and shield them. Lord, we're asking for those that are convalescing and those that were not able to get out for whatever the reason, that you might bless them as well. Remember our worldwide web audience. Hallelujah. We're asking, Lord, that you might give us all hearing ears and seeing eyes, that we may behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. Father, help us, Lord, to encourage one another. Hallelujah. Realizing it's all about you and not about us. Father, as we lift up the name of Jesus, hallelujah, help us, Lord, at this hour. And Father, we're praying not just for us, Lord, but for all those ministries throughout. Hallelujah. 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 That the name of Jesus is uplifted. And Father, we ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember the prophet. He said, ain't nobody left but me. And the Lord answered and said, I have 7,000 that haven't bowed to the knee of Baal. Hallelujah. So it's not just us. Oh, sometimes it seems like we're in a wilderness. Hallelujah. Sometimes it seems like, you know, that we're battling uphill. But we have to realize that God has a purpose for all things. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And all of his people, there are purposes. Amen. Even those that haven't got the revelation, amen, of the grace of God and who we are in Christ, we want to encourage them. And those that we come across, we want to be kind. Hallelujah. Amen. Tenderhearted. Hallelujah. Not haughty and uplifted. Right. Hallelujah. Don't argue with anyone. Realizing that the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Right. And if it's to be revealed to them, it'll be the work of the Holy Ghost and not you. And sometimes that's hard for me. You know, I want to take the Bible and beat folks over the head with it. Yeah, I want to eat it, you know, shove it down their throat. Oh, but my God, does kindness go a long way? Realizing that it's the meekness and the kindness and the tenderheartedness that the Lord shows toward us. Hallelujah, in spite of our shortcomings. Well, you know, when you see me coming, you know where I'm coming from, don't you? Hallelujah. We're going to start with Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. And the Lord has inspired me, Deacon, who's my reader, right, to include Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. And oh, we will not leave off Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And I'd like you, if you'd be so kind, as to read those in the King James as well as the Greek. I'd appreciate it, sir.
First, we're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, King James Version first. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now from the interlinear Greek text, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world, to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Amen, amen. You know, we want to establish the fact that we were elected in eternity before the foundation to be members of the body of Christ. God caused you to come. Hallelujah. You didn't just make up your mind one morning and say, you know, I think I'm going to choose Jesus. No, no, no. All of this was the eternal workings of God for you. Hallelujah. Now, if God is the one that has caused you to come, you can't be the one to take yourself out of the body of Christ. You cannot lose what you didn't choose. You can't lose it. You cannot just step out of the body of Christ because you didn't cause yourself to step in. So once that's established, that should take away a lot of fear. All those sayings in times past, we sang songs, if I can just make it in. If I can find my way through this traveling and during this journey, if I can make it to the other side. Keep in mind, it's not about you. You didn't do anything. You didn't die on the cross. You didn't shed your blood. You didn't make a way for you and me and all those that are elected to be members of the body of Christ in God's eternal plan and working. We were not there. We were not participating. We didn't have anything to put ourselves in. We had nothing to do with it. We cannot take ourselves out. Rest in peace, realizing that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. He covers that in Romans chapter 8. He names everything that he can name. And he comes to the conclusion that nothing can separate you. Now, this should give you peace, realizing that we're never alone. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us, that regardless of what our walk is, what our journey is down here, we are not alone. God is in complete control. Even when it looks like there is no control and no order, God got it. Hallelujah. So you can turn your light off. You can rest realizing that whatever comes, God is sending it, and it comes to pass. That's why it comes, so that it can pass. Hallelujah. And our way is already made through God's eternal plan and his purpose. Hallelujah. So we can thank God for that. Can you please turn? So you know what? We have to establish that. Many of you may not realize that your salvation is an eternal entity. That it's not something that's passing, that's coming and going. You know, you're not backsliding today and being restored tomorrow. You're not having to go back to the mourner's bench. You're not having to go back and recite the sinner's prayer. You're not having to go back into baptisms. Oh my God, we're not going to talk about baptisms. There's a lot of them, and I've been baptized more than once my own self. Yeah, trying to work my way through this salvation thing. But rest in him. Enter into the rest. Hallelujah. Because God already got your back. He's already taken care of that for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we got to make sure you understand that God is in control and that he had you picked out in his eternal plan and working before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Some of you all hear this week after week and you still ain't got it. And then some of you may be hearing it for the first time. So we want to make sure that you rest assured realizing that salvation is of God and that it is an eternal entity in working and that it's not anything that we do to add to it. No. Hallelujah. No. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, please. We're going to go to 1, 16 and 17.
Now we're reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 from the King James Version first. Verse 16, Colossians 1. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist.
Amen.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Because in him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created.
Amen.
And he is before all things, and all things in him consisted.
Amen. You know, this ties directly into Hebrews 11:3, where God spoke everything in that decree into existence. The same verbiage that you find in the Greek here is the same verbiage that ties into Hebrews 11:3. And that talks about now faith is the substance. Hallelujah. All things are in God. All things, the good, the bad, the ugly, the astonishing, the minute, all things are encompassed in the workings of God, the eternal workings of God. And so we wanted to kind of put that in to let you see that it's all about him. All things were created by and for him, not you. But all things that come are part of his creation, part of his workings, part of his glory. Hallelujah. Part of his testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are part of that. Not that we picked it. Again, we were elected in eternity before the foundation of the world. And where you are is where God has placed you. Hallelujah. Whatever's coming, it's coming to pass. We need to this year run to the roar. We don't need to back off because the victory is already ours. We read in this that lordships and rulers and authorities all were created by and for him, and they're all under our feet. Hallelujah. Because we rule and reign in Christ. Hallelujah. As members of the body of Christ, there's no greater calling. And we're going to talk about that a little later as well. Colossians, please. Chapter 2. I know you already have a turn there. 2 and 9 and 10.
Okay. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And again, from the King James Version first. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 from the interlinear Greek text.
Hallelujah.
Because in him dwells all fullness, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule and authority.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your life is completed in Christ and God. Your real life is your hidden life in Christ. Hallelujah. So whatever comes on a daily basis, it's coming because God has brought it. And you got to keep in mind that it is completed in Christ in Him. Hallelujah. God is not making daily decisions. Hallelujah. He's not confused. He's not schizophrenic. He's not changing his mind every day. You know, we always get him confused with Santa Claus. We just got through with the Christmas season here, where Santa's up making lists and checking it twice. But God is not doing that. You know, now we're going to be having the Easter Bunny in a little while. He ain't the Easter Bunny either. You know, not the Good Tooth Fairy. You know, so God is not, he does not have those attributes. God is the God of all. He's all was done for him and about him. And he's completed everything in eternity before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. So it's not about you and what you shoulda, coulda, woulda. It's all about him and his completed work and his eternal decree. Hallelujah. According to his divine will and purpose. So we've established that. We're going to turn our thoughts now to the pastor's pen. We're going to be using, referring to the the pastor's pen, God's purpose in our life functions. That's Sunday, December the 7th, 2014. In the allotted span of our potential life expectancies, there are numerous hours of functioning in the daily processes of engaging earthly encounters. Yet, in spite of these earthly assigned appointments, it is so very important to know that these limited boundaries of functionality do not make up what our prioritized existence is all about. The words prioritized and priority are not used so much in the sense of whether something is important, but even more, what is the most important. In this sense, what is the meaning or purpose of our daily functioning? In other words, should things we do simply revolve around our temporary accommodations as their sole purpose, or is there a higher calling and other purposes for our life? The earthly wonders of this life are grouped in the sea of temporary actions loaded with continuous trends of changing. Accumulations of daily unstable events are constant threats to the comfort and peace we all seek. God's people's protection is positioned only in their calling to their heavenly's eternal dwelling, above the things of this life's encounters. So the most important function in life, according to God's word, are engaged beyond daily viewings, even though we do many considerable daily tasks in the impassiveness flow of our safety benefits and sense of well-being in our communities. In this, we must recognize God's function as having created everything, including his making possible our functioning. Because of sorrowful occurrences that often happen, many questions are raised. Does God care about what benefits and comforts us? What about the things that we think we need? How can we explain the things that happen? Also, doesn't everyone have some calling? Doesn't God have a purpose for everything that happens? And if so, is his purpose satisfied or limited by what we do and how we do things? To clear up these questions, we need to recognize that mankind's functions meagerly operate in the system of God's purpose. Yes. Crystal clearly, everything that exists because God has created all things to exist. So, this brings to the question of whether God is interested in our employment, satisfaction, our safety, etc. Looking around in our life, many times some things are very puzzling. So we wonder how our calling is actually tied to daily functions. Without a doubt, we were in our call by God to do the things that we do well, such as showing our calling to God through our service to Him as well as others. Yes. This is displayed in various occupations or stereotyped impressions in performing God's task. When we observe pastors and ministers or Christian educators' dedication to the study of God's Word, certainly this represents their high calling. We usually think that this is their highest calling, except that is a misunderstanding of what one's eternal calling actually is. In Romans 1:7, the phrase beloved of God, called saints, identifies those called as saints to be those beloved of or by God. 1 Corinthians 1:2 phrase declares those called saints is simply those sanctified or having been set apart in Jesus Christ. So, according to these scriptures, a person's calling represents that person's position of having been loved and set apart to God more than what that person's function is. Even if individuals have professional assortment, does that person have a high calling as others? Moreover, if such is a business executive or an attorney or soldier or rancher or a musician, does any of them have a high calling? Do these functions have anything to do with God's purpose? We could ask the same questions of a mother with a small child or grandparents babysitting grandchildren or retirees headed for vacation or even college students studying to pursue careers. Even though these functions are rewarding, while others are not, do they represent high callings? As before stated, the position of high calling is much more important than the function in high calling. So, who one is more important than what one does. Hallelujah. This does not detract from the dedication and devotion of those whose daily activities are prioritized in the gratifying duties of operations. However, what must be clearly said is that God's purpose is a person's life and the most important factor for deciding what the value of their occupation is. So it all goes back to God and his purpose. Whether or not you are a policeman, whether or not you are a soldier or a doctor or a janitor or a teacher or an administrator, whatever your occupation, God has caused you to walk in that occupation, but it does not trump who you really are and your position in Christ, that sonship position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we should thank God for that. Possibly a person's mission is most important, most sacred, and representative of that person's high calling, but only as it figures into God's process in revealing his purpose. In this view, God's purpose defines everything we say, everything we do, as well as everything that happens in our life. The process, which is the physical manifestation, is driven by the divine purpose. Hallelujah. So we can't get that mixed up. Many times we put more emphasis and priority on processes as we're walking through the matrix or we're going through time. Hallelujah. But the real deal is the invisible eternal. The invisible eternal workings of God. Hallelujah. Everything ties back to God's purpose. And the problem we run into is that we are mostly sightseers. We want to be moved by what we see day to day. And we know everything is changing and evolving daily, hour by hour, minute by minute, sometimes second by second. Hallelujah. But that's not the real. We have to be vertical viewers, looking up. And you know, when we look up, we see Jesus. When we look around, we see trouble. We see trouble. Yeah, don't we? We see trouble on our job, trouble with our neighbors, trouble on the TV. We see trouble when we are sightseeing. We, as members of the body of Christ, must look up. We must look up in vertical view. We need to look down on these situations, realizing that they have come to pass, that they are only temporary assignments. Hallelujah. They are appearing to disappear. Hallelujah. That the real is the invisible eternal tied into God's purpose. And that kind of causes us to be off balance. From this, we can positively state that all things operate in God's system by displaying his ways, his workings, and his will, because he has designed all things for the purpose of what pleases him. And we reference Ephesians 1 and 5, which we've already read. So how things happen, when things happen, and to whom things happen are not what our limited human minds can understand. Paul talks about that. He says, we look through a glass dimly. We don't see the whole picture. We don't know God's entire design. Hallelujah. So we can't believe what we see. Hallelujah. We have to go back to our vertical viewing, walking by faith. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3 and 11 says, according to a purpose of the ages, which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 1 and 11 states that everything was foreordained according to the purpose of him, of whom all things are working according to the direction of his will. For this knowledge, we can have peace and comfort and understanding that the exhibitions of all manner of life, including suffering, including endurance, including faith and love, all give evidence that to those loving God, all things do work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose. And we reference Romans 8:28. Can we give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. This is about walking by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. We are now going to turn our attention to good, correct ministry of the word. It's a pastor's pen, and it is from Sunday, July 19th, 2015. And it states that those who correctly administer and teach the word of God to the church in this age of grace must be held to certain qualified standards for dispensing the truth of the gospel. 1 Timothy 4 and 6, requisite for a good minister of Jesus Christ, necessitates the essence of the good teaching which Paul gave to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4:11 directs, command these things and teach, and also be concerned about these things. Be in them that your advancement might be manifest to all. And we reference there 1 Timothy 4 and 5. And 1 Timothy 6, 2 to 3, it affirms, these things teach and exhort. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not consent to sound words, to those of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the teachings according to godliness, he is depraved of the truth. He's deprived of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 6, 2 and 3, as well as 4. You know, in 1 Timothy 4:12, he said, let no man despise thy youth. And when I was reading Timothy, as I was studying, I read both 1st and 2nd Timothy and studying this. There was so much going on, so much confusion. Hallelujah. Timothy was a young man taught as a boy by his mother and his grandmother in the ways of God. And Paul was locked up at the time. And he wrote this letter telling Timothy, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. He was telling Timothy, don't walk in fear, because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And I was wondering about that. I said, well, what was Timothy to be fearful of? Oh, my God. They had so many naysayers. They had so many backbiters and busybodies. And there was so much confusion going on. And Paul was, people were wondering about him. Some people had turned on him and abandoned him as he was locked up. And then they came in and came up like wolves into the sheep. It was a mess going on. So here we have Timothy, a very young man with a very big job and assignment to try to keep everything steady and stabilized by the word. Hallelujah. And you had all these philosophies and these doctrines going about. And you had so many people that were once walking in the faith who had abandoned the faith and were putting out heresies. Hallelujah. You had almost like a perfect storm going on. You had the law keepers and those that were wedded to the law. You had those that were involved with the kingdom gospel. And then you had those of the church, the body of Christ, the new thing that had been hidden. And so he was trying to get order in all of this disorder. Might sound kind of like your life, huh? Yeah, yeah. All kinds of things happening. But Paul was admonishing him to stay strong, hold fast to truth. Hallelujah. Think on those things that he had been taught, that the Holy Spirit was revealing to him and helping him through. But he had a big, big job. The phrase sound words is synonymous to sound teaching. And that's cited in 1 Timothy 1:10, which is identified with the gospel entrusted to Paul. 2 Timothy 1:13 conveys this same phrase to depict the message which Timothy had heard from Paul. And we reference again 2 Timothy 4:3. Hence, the sound words of the Lord Jesus Christ are the words that Jesus Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul for the grace church and the grace dispensation. And we reference Galatians 1:12. Paul's causation to Timothy against those who teach other things than sound words. Stay away from them. 1 Timothy 6:3-5, 2 Timothy 2:2. It's crystal clear that this message is what should be preached in this present church age. Paul's conveyance of these passages to Timothy is, "And what you have heard from me, through many witnesses, these things commit to faithful men who shall be qualified to also teach others." Yes. Hence, yes. Teaching which does not conform to Paul's gospel is in fact dissenting teaching to the grace church. You're going to be confused when you mix up the gospels. You're going to be confused when you try to mix what's going on in the synoptic gospels to the kingdom with what goes on in the church. The kingdom covered visible things. The church grace gospel truth harbors on the invisible, on those things that are spiritual and invisible and eternal. And so when you've got people who are sightseers mixed up with those that are vertical viewers, you got a problem. And that's what Timothy had. And that might be what you might be experiencing too. You might be talking to those that you love and come in contact with about the vertical things, the eternal things of God. And they are sightseeing, telling you, "Oh, but that's not what we see." What you see is not real. It's just a manifestation, just a reflection of the actualized truth, the invisible, spiritual, eternal. Hallelujah. And I want to admonish you to stand strong in 2016, realizing that we are going to walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. We're going to be vertical viewers and not sightseers. We're not going to be moved by the elections. We're not going to be moved by the weather. We're not going to be moved by whether or not China's currency stands strong or whether or not there are injustices in our police systems. Oh, all those things in time are passing away. We are going to be moved by what the Word of God says and who the Word of God says we are and what it was wrought for us through the blood of Jesus. That's what's going to move and motivate us this year. Essentially, the good minister teaches Paul's message and is aggressively involved in its advancement. It is exceedingly important to recognize that Jesus Christ conveyed two distinct messages. Christ conveyed the first in manifesting his earthly ministry. It is recorded in the Synoptic Gospel, which pertains to his earthly kingdom's relevancy to the Commonwealth of Israel. And we are referencing Matthew 4:17-23 and Matthew 9:35. That was offered to and subsequently rejected by them. And we reference Acts 4:17-18, Acts 4:29, Acts 7:51-60. Christ's second message was revealed to Paul as the mystery, as it is distinguished after he ascended into heaven. This is the truth that constitutes today's gospel and should not be confused with Israel's gospel. The Grace Gospel Church ministry takes this message literally for what it teaches as present church age truth, which compels prioritizing Paul's epistles as the sole heart of relevant ministry curriculum. If one is not thoroughly immersed in truth of Paul's 14 epistles, that's Romans through Hebrews, such is not adequately qualified to teach the message of the Grace Church. And we reference the Grace Gospel for the Grace Dispensation, Acts 9 through 15 and 16, Acts 22 and 10, Romans 16:25, and Ephesians 3, 2, and 3. I want you to reference those scriptures, and I want you to look them up. You know, we are a teaching ministry. We give a lot of scriptures because everything that we teach and preach is in writing. Hallelujah. And we back it up with the Word, not traditions of men. We back it up with the Word. And we're going to conclude on a very short pastor's pen. Excuse me. It's Unscriptural Illusionary Mindsets. It is from the pastor's pen, dated Sunday, July 26, 2015. See, they're all tying together nicely, aren't they? Amen. Hallelujah. Unscriptural Illusionary Mindsets. In this age of quick fix problem solving and philosophical solutions for all things, many of God's people are sadly drawn into this unscriptural, illusionary mindset. It is essential for all to be in accord with the dictates of His sovereign arrangements. All must understand that God's people exist and move at the exclusive pleasure of God's will. And we reference Acts 17, 26 to 28, and Ephesians 1 and 5, and Ephesians 1 and 9. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 states, "Because of this also, we at all times are in prayer for you, that God may consider you worthy of His calling and may fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith and power." Note the Greek expression rendered "because of this also," or "what, wherefore also," or "to this end also," as it basically refers to the antecedent verse in verse 10, the testimony of God's ultimate purpose for His people. Of a surety, the day will manifest when the Lord is glorified in the saints, and He will be supremely admired and marveled at among all those whom He elect. It is to this purpose that the calling of His elect is designed. Verse 11 conveys the result in God's elect worthiness in having received the culmination of that initial act of the good pleasure of His goodness, as expressed by the Greek phrase, literally rendered, "fulfill all the good pleasure of goodness." Note that the genitive of possessing connotes that all is rendered good pleasure and goodness or graciousness. The phrase rendered "all" entails the following. Number one, the goodness of God, such as His own innate eternal kindness that caused Him to elect His designees in eternity and in time manifest His call into salvation. Number two, it is the pleasure of His goodness in having saved or delivered such ones into eternal life. And number three, it was the good pleasure of God in having received and retained such ones in an everlasting relationship and fellowship, as conveyed in the ending phrase in 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Yes. Here Paul describes how God accomplished His purpose, rendered the work of faith and power, thus delineating the faithfulness of God in having exercised His power to bring to pass or fulfill that which obviously pleased Him. Yeah. Do you know you please Him? It was of His good pleasure that He picked you. Now, I don't understand why He picked me, because I wouldn't have picked me. I'm a piece of work. And maybe some of you all too. Maybe some of you all are too. But in spite of what manifests down here, we are beloved eternally of God. Hallelujah. In spite of His amazing grace, His unspeakable riches, we are partakers of. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we've got something to be grateful for. The Grace Gospel Church ministry believes and teaches that God in eternity called His elect in this grace dispensation, as documented in the Gospel of Grace, the mystery, to the acquiring or possession of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we reference 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Hence, His elect's eternal existence in Him transcends all other things that are in fact incidental to such one's eternal standing in him. Do you know whatever goes on, it doesn't change your sonship? You are who you are in Christ from now on. Hallelujah. And that's a blessing. We are safe and secure in him. Regardless of what comes, we are safe and secure in him. And we reference 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, and 1 Thessalonians 2 and 12. This knowledge conveys and instills one's prioritized state and status of existence, which surpasses everything else encompassing life. Eternal comprehensions excel beyond the daily encounters and challenges that are interfaced and seemingly command and prioritize the sensory perception of God's people. In 2016, let us view life from the vertical plane of our sonship position in Christ and what God has done for us through his eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Saints, in 2016, walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah.